Look for kindness in other people. Nice. Your kindness should be evident. Yes. Yeah, the Lord is coming soon. Yeah. Yeah, choose to think about it. Yes. Yeah. With this summary, you've already kind of summed up everything that is in the passage. This was a very good start. Well done, everybody. This passage sort of outlines how to live the best life we can live, I reckon. It just kind of breaks it down into this is actually what you can do to live a good life, which I find very helpful because I'm a practical person. So what it says is, choose to rejoice, yeah? And then it says, pray about everything and do not worry. And then it says, notes, that's why you have notes, be thankful. And then it says, focus on the good things. Positive things. And then peace will come. I love peace. This pen is not peaceful. That's okay. Peace will come. Now, we, of course, live in a world where peace is not a given. In our own lives, you know, we're sick, so there's no peace in our body. We have conflict in our families, so there's no peace in our families. Then in our world, of course, wars going on in other countries. Things like stabbing in Sydney. Literally, wherever we look, peace is not a thing. And so that Paul is like, here you go. If you do this, peace will come. That sounds pretty good to me. Now, as I say, I'm a practical person in going, oh, this is great. I have a list of things I can do. Is awesome, except what if I don't feel like choosing joy? Or what if I can't see anything to be thankful for? Or what if I get bogged down by feeling bitter about something or sad or whatever it is? It might be great to have a helpful list like this, but what if I can't access it, as it were? So today, I would love us to think about our thinking, our thought life, because this is where all of this starts. About 5 years ago, I realized that I have a pattern in my life that I live by that makes it really hard for me to have joy, like deep, real joy. I can put it on quite easily. If you know me or have known me for a while, you know that I smile a lot. That is my default. So when I'm nervous, I smile. When I'm excited about something, I smile. When I'm anxious, I smile because it's I find that easier than having to admit to what is really going on with me. So if you see me smile, you don't actually know what's going on because that is my default. I am sorry to admit. So I can put it on easily, but deep inside, it doesn't always look like that. So as I say, I might be anxious. Or whatever it is. Right now, I'm really nervous, and yet I smile because, you know, it's my default. And I know people respond to smiles, so I trained myself in smiling. That is beside the point. What if the deep joy is not happening? Yeah? What if you just put it on? Or what if you can't even put it on? And so I noticed that I have a pattern in my life which repeats itself and makes my life often just a bit annoying or sad or negative and not enjoyable. And I call it the spiral. And the pattern goes like this. I have a negative thought and I agree with it. And then another negative thought follows that. And then they just keep on coming. The negative thoughts just get worse and worse and they spiral into something that feels like a pit to me. So let me give you an example. I have a negative thought here. For example, I wake up in the morning and I see that it is raining and I go, ah, the weather is terrible. And then in my heart, I agree with it. I go, yes, the weather is terrible. Cycling to work today will be just really annoying. I'm going to get wet, and then I'm going to arrive at work, and I'll be sitting in my wet clothes. It's going to be uncomfortable. And then I'm going to probably get sick. Now, I'm not a good sick person, so then I'll probably have a week of misery because I feel unwell. And so really, this day is going to be terrible because I had that first initial thought of the weather is terrible. I agreed with it, and I made it worse. I took myself all the way down to this day is not going to be a good day, and then it isn't, because if I set out thinking this day is not going to be good, of course it's not going to be good. Yeah, that is an everyday example that happens to me regularly that I have to fight somehow. Or then, of course, there are some other examples that are a bit deeper, sort of, in my soul. So, for example, as you know, I am the community coordinator of this parish. So my job is it is to oversee all the things that bring us together as family. That's why I hold all the small groups, because that brings us together as family. That's why I organize events, like the parish weekend away, because I want to enable us to have spaces where we come together as family and feel connected with each other and belong with each other. I love people who take initiative and organize a board games night. By the way, you should all come. It's going to be awesome. Because I go, they're doing my job for me. Thank you very much. And I love my job. I am good at organizing things. I'm great at calling people, asking them to help with something. I find it easy to oversee what do we need for this event. And those are the jobs I can give out to people. Yeah, so that's no problem. But the part of my job that I struggle with is actually holding the responsibility. So when we come to the parish weekend away, and I have organized all the teams, and they're doing all their job, when decisions have to be made, I am still the one who has to make them. So, you know, at the parish weekend away, I run around like a headless chicken because I'm constantly trying to please everybody, make sure everybody's okay. And then, because the story that goes on in my head, the negative thought that I agree with is, I'm not very good at this. And then, of course, any event, there is always stuff that goes wrong because there are so many moving pieces, you can't possibly get it all right. So, people are not happy with their rooms, or somebody falls. all things that happened at the last parish weekend away. Or it's freezing cold. The thing, I then go, that just confirms. I am not very good at this. And then I go away from the parish weekend away, and I find all the things I could have done better. And that just confirms. This is not great. And then I think to myself, I am terrible at my job. And then I think to myself, why do I even get paid? And then I go, maybe I should just quit. And you're sitting here going, what is going on with her? Of course she shouldn't quit. She's doing a great job. This is just the one. But can you see how this happens? I spiral into some pit that is very unhelpful for living a good life. And I haven't quit so far, so I am working on this, as you can see. And I'm getting better at not believing the lie, but or not getting sucked into a pit. But there is a piece here where I agree with a negative thought, and then it takes me really low. And when I tell that to anybody, they all go, "What are you doing? This is silly." And it'll be the same with whatever goes on for you, because I believe that we all have negative thoughts that we agree with that take us into a spiral, into a pit that is very unhelpful for good living. And God promises us life in fullness, and we're not living it because we get sucked into negativity. Now, I happen to be an emotional person, and I listen to my voices in my head, and that's why I get sucked in so deep. And you might not get sucked in so deep, and that's great. I'm glad. But as I say, to some extent, I think we all have this. And there's even examples in the Bible where I think this happens. It's not explicitly explained like this, but Moses, for example, yeah? He ends up killing someone. Now, Moses was an awesome guy. And you don't wake up in the morning and you go, I'm just going to kill somebody today. That's not what happens. What happens is he was probably stuck in a negative thought spiral. He probably realized he would have seen the injustice going on, and he would have gone, that's not okay. That's the negative thought he agreed with. This is not okay. It's just not right. And then it would have gone on, and he would have thought to himself, we never get treated right. Why do the Egyptians have all the rights? Why do we Israelites not have any rights? And then he would have gone, this is an injustice. That's not okay. Something needs to be done. And then when an opportunity presented itself, of course he did something, because he had worked himself into the spiral went ahead and killed the guy. Same with David. He killed someone else's husband so that he could sleep with his wife. Again, not something he would have woken up and gone, I'm going to do that today. That would have been a spiral that he got sucked into and then was stuck in. And so some of our spirals are, you know, light and breezy, like the weather is terrible today. And some of our spirals actually get really bad, and we don't know how to get out of them again. Now, there's another thing here that I think affect our spirals, and that is our circumstances. So if I wake up in the morning and it's raining, and the thought is, oh, the weather is terrible today, and I also have a sore throat at this moment in time, or I haven't eaten yet, I had a fight with someone yesterday, then of course I'm going to spiral faster than if I was lying on a sunny beach and it started to rain. So the circumstances, of course, also play a role in our spirals. Now, there is hope. Can I just say there is hope? Especially after having read Philippians 4. I have developed a little recipe or a how-to guide of how I get myself out of the spirals. And it is inspired by Philippians 4, and I would like to share that with you to break the cycle, to not get stuck in, to find a way to get ourselves out with the help of God. So first of all, the first thing to do is always pray, of course. When we realize something is going on, we want to pray. I mean, you know, here we are in the passage already. Pray about everything, it says. In any stage of my 4 points, it's helpful to invite God in to help with whatever it is. So the first thing I do is I say to myself, stop. I literally tell myself to stop thinking negatively. So, for example, I wake up in the morning and I see it raining and I say, the weather is terrible today. And when I realize what's going on, I go, okay, stop. It is correct. The weather is terrible today, but stop with the negative train thought. Just stop, yeah? And then I go, what else is true? What else is true? So then I start listing. Okay, I just had a good night's sleep. I live in a house with 4 walls and a roof. I am dry right now. I have a change of clothes. Even if I get to work wet, I can just get changed and be fine. There's sick leave. I work in a job where there's sick leave. Even if I get sick, I can get sick leave. What else is true? I live in a community with loving people. What else is true? Literally, anything that comes to mind that is also true and positive, I list. That's right. The rain is watering the flowers that I would love to grow. So yes, first I tell myself to stop with the negative thoughts, and then I go, okay, what else is true? And then I go and be thankful. Just like Paul encourages us, I say, okay, what can I be thankful for right now? Because being thankful always, always takes us out of ourselves and puts our focus back on God, who is good always and wants good things for us in life always. So then I list things that I'm thankful for. They don't have to do anything to do with my negative thought. They can just be anything I'm thankful for right in this moment. So for example, right now I am thankful that you guys are still listening to me. I am thankful that the sun, in fact, has started coming out. I am thankful that I just had a week where not a lot of people in my house were at home and I had lots of peace and quiet. That was beautiful. I am thankful that some of them are returning today because that will be fun. I am thankful for my red pants. Just whatever comes to mind, give thanks to God and say, what are you thankful for today? And then, and the funny thing with thankfulness is the more we practice it, the easier it gets. The faster things come at us that go, oh yes, that, I'm thankful for that too. And suddenly we're, you know, uplifted and not so stuck anymore. And then the fourth thing to do, which is really vulnerable, is to share. Share your negative thought spiral with someone. Now, for example, with my weather example, I might have thought in the morning, oh, the weather is terrible. I could see myself going down the spiral, having a terrible day. And then I would have gone, oh, stop. You know, what else is true? What am I thankful for right now? And then I might go out and meet Mel in my kitchen and go, Mel, this morning I woke up thinking, the weather is terrible, but I don't want to have a terrible day. Can you pray with me that today is going to be good? Yeah? That would be sharing. And suddenly, it has no more power over me. Suddenly, the negative thought is just sort of, it's true, it's still raining, you know, the weather is still terrible, but it has no more power over me. That is what sharing does. It lets the light in, kicks the enemy out, invites God to do his work with his goodness in our lives. Now, sometimes our negative thought spirals are related to people. So as you guys know, I live in an intentional community. There's 9 of us, and not all the time is it all fun. You know, people get on my nerves. And so sometimes my beef might be with someone, or my negative thoughts might be with someone who I live with, and I go, stop. Stop, Tavia. What else is true about this person even? What can you be thankful for right now? And then I think I am called to go and share with them and go, Mel, sorry, you're my example today because you're here. Thanks for being here, Mel. I go, Mel, I have been thinking this thing, this negative thing about you or about our friendship or whatever it is. I am really sorry. I know this is not true. I realized that I got myself stuck in a thought spiral. And I just wanted to let you know because I'm asking for forgiveness, but also I just need to let the light in and I want to move forward with you. And she is most likely going to say, bless you, that's all right. Now, that might not always be the reaction you get from a person. And you might also go, yeah, but I work in a place where I have, you know, negative thoughts with people and I can't share that with them. Obviously, don't put yourself in a position where you open yourself up to be hurt or, you know what I mean. We want to be vulnerable, but in a way where we then have to pay the price in another way or where we get kicked out or whatever it is. So be smart about this. But then you can always share your negative thought spiral with your spouse or with a friend. And if you go, yeah, but I don't live with anybody that I can share anything with, then text someone and say, text me and go, Tabea, I had this negative thought spiral this morning. Can you just pray for me as you go to work today? Or whatever it is. Basically, sharing is the best way to move on and leave it behind because we've gone and done the work and we're inviting God in to continue his good work in us for us to move forward. And we can always share with God. So even if you're not brave enough to share it with someone else, share it with God. That is also sharing. Yeah? So this is my little system that has been working for me. So when I go and organize a parish weekend away, and I go, I'm not very good at this, I go, stop. What else is true? You've done this before. People have told you they've had a great time before. What else is true is mistakes happen. It's not your fault. And then I go, okay, what am I thankful for? All the people who are helping, all the people who are coming, that God has good plans for that weekend. Lots of things to be thankful for. And then I go and share it with the congregation and go and make myself vulnerable. You see? Ah, this is good. So You might be sitting here and go, this is a great concept, but why is this a sermon? I could have listened to something like this in a TED talk, or I could have read a scientific magazine online. They would have said something along those lines, because it is a thing, you know, the study, the neurological studies around negative thoughts, that is a thing. But I think that God came up with this first. That's why it's a sermon. Maybe not in those words, but definitely Paul already talks about this in Philippians 4. And I think Paul actually takes it even further with the whole focus on positive things. Because I have realized recently that I don't... So first of all, I can get myself, or God can help me get out of a negative thought spiral by, you know, doing my four steps and then moving on, as it were. But I think Paul takes it further, and he actually creates a positive thought spiral that goes upwards. So it starts at the bottom and then goes higher, like this way. And I think, and that is actually what I want us to encourage to go away with today. Obviously, if you get stuck in spirals, go do the things. That's really awesome. Go do the steps. It really helps. I have 5 years of experience now, you know, saying it works. I still have negative thought spirals, like, don't get me wrong, but at least I have a way of getting out again once it starts. But what Paul says is, actually, you can also live an upward spiral, and that is by focusing your thoughts on positive things. Thinking about what is true, what is honorable, what is just, what is pure, what is pleasing, what is commendable, what is excellent, what is praiseworthy. Think about those things. And don't just like think about them when they happen to happen, but actively go after them. Pursue them. Pursue positive things. Put your mind to them. Run after them. And then I think we can make the spiral go upwards permanently, because if I start with a positive thought and then more positive thoughts follow, then I can't help but keep thinking positive things. And suddenly the negative thoughts don't have such a hold anymore. If they come, I go, eh, and move on to the positive things again. Or they might not even come anymore. Oh my word, wouldn't that be so great if we lived in a life where there were normal negative thoughts when they were just all positive? Now, you might go, yeah, that's not, you know, possible this side of heaven, and maybe it isn't, but Paul wrote this letter when he was in prison, and I am sure that it was not good conditions, and he was probably unwell, too, when he wrote this, and yet he honestly talks about rejoicing in the Lord always, and about praying about everything, and being thankful all the time, about not worrying about stuff. He talks about putting his mind on things that are good. If he can say that when he is in prison, then I think there is hope that we can do that too, who are not in prison. who live a pretty privileged life most of the time. So, I want to challenge us this week to find something good in every hour. I challenge us to be thankful every minute of every day. I challenge us to jump in a puddle. I challenge us to wear something colorful. I challenge us to smell a flower. I challenge us to balance on a little wall. It's really fun, I gotta tell you. I challenge us to enjoy our food, really taste it. I challenge us to, when talking with people, finding things that are awesome about them. As you're talking with them, go, oh, they're so great, because. Maybe even telling them. I challenge us to look for whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, whatever is excellent, whatever is life-giving this week, and see if we can, if we can't reverse some spirals and go upwards, and live a life in fullness that God promises and we can do our part in by how we live. And I look forward to hearing your stories. Do tell me next Sunday or halfway through the week, send me a message. You go, Tavia, this is awesome. Joy all around. In all circumstances, let us look for what is good. Let me pray. Lord, you are good and your love endures forever. And that is what we want to step into this week. God, would you show us where you are? Would you show us the beauty all around us? Would you show us things that are pleasing and good? Would you show us your blessings? Would you show us where you are? Would we just stumble over that all the time this week? God, I pray that you help us to focus our thoughts on good things. I pray, Lord, that you break the power of the negative thoughts in our lives, in Jesus' name. I pray that they don't get a say anymore about who we are or what we do or how we live our lives, but that in fact that is changed into something that is all positive because you are there. In all the circumstances we find ourselves in, God, would this become reality? Would this deep joy be something that you bless us with, whatever we find ourselves in this week? Because you are bigger than all the circumstances. And you are bigger than our negative thoughts in our minds anyway. We thank you, Lord, that you live in our hearts. And we thank you that you have good things for us. And Jesus, we present ourselves before you and say, please have your way with us this week in a good way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.